Today we have a very special guest joining us, County Commissioner and Budget Committee Chairman Connor McDonald from Smith County, someone who's deeply involved in shaping the future for our community. Thanks for being here with us, Connor.
Thanks, Ben. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. Known you for since you've been a commissioner, and you do a great job down there in Smith County. Y'all got a lot of good things going on there, and I was happy to be a part of that for a little while. But glad you're on. You got a lot of information, so I want to start with your background and who you are, because you do so many things, not only for your community, but for the state. And so I'll start with, have you always lived in Smith County?
I have. We are we've been in Smith County longer than Tennessee's been a state. My dad did some research a couple years ago and traced the family farm that we live on, that he's kind of put a lot of it back together. We've been there since a Revolutionary War grant. So our family's got very deep ties to Smith County. I was born and raised there, spent my whole life there. I left for just a couple years. I went to MTSU, went to Belmont Law School up in Nashville, but got married in the meantime and knew that it was my goal and my dream to always be back and raise my family in Smith County and live on the farm. And so it's been home forever, and that's how I plan it to be.
That's amazing. I did not know that history about your family being there longer than Tennessee's technically been a state and been in the Union. So that's some good information. That's a lot of heritage there and history that your family's got going on.
It is. Some we're very proud of it, and something that I'm very proud of as a son, as a part of the family, to be able to carry on that legacy. It's definitely an honor and something that we all are very proud of.
That's good. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing now. I know you got your law license, you're a practicing attorney, and so you're working for the state now. Tell me about that.
I got my attorney, my JD from Belmont Law School, and went to the University of Alabama, actually, don't shoot me, to get my Master's of Law in taxation. I actually had always been interested in the estate planning side of things. My dad was a dentist in the community there in Smith County, saw him trying to run a small business and also take care of the community, and I got really interested in the business and personal planning side of things. So that's why I ended up going on for my advanced degree in tax issues, and worked for several years with a gentleman in Nashville named Brian Howard, who is an incredible estate planning attorney, one of the best in the state. And then I had just had a child, my first child, and Brian, there was a change at the firm, so through some circumstances there, I ended up stepping over to the Tennessee Secretary of State's office to serve as Assistant General Counsel for Secretary Hargett. And I was actually in that position for about 2.5 years until I recently made the move back to private practice. So I'm at a firm down in Brentwood, Riggs Davey, where we do back in the estate planning side of things. So we do a lot of business, general business, corporate acquisitions, things like that. But my work is on the estate planning team, where we do a lot of personal and family work. And what I've really enjoyed getting to do is working with a lot of members in the community, especially when it comes to like family farms and things like that, to carry on the legacy and preserve them for generations to come.
That's great. I don't think I realized, Connor, that you left the state. So thank you for
It
letting me
was
know
a
that.
it's been a pretty recent development. It just happened a little earlier this year. I so enjoyed my time with Trey Hargett, and it's one of those bosses that he's such a good boss, it makes it really hard to leave. But a great opportunity come up, and in fact, both him and my direct supervisor, the general counsel, had told me, this is they know the firm, they knew the firm that had reached out to me and said this was an incredible opportunity, and it was time for me to move on, as much as they were going to hate to miss me and I was going to miss them. So
That's great. So are you having to go to Brentwood quite a bit, or are you able to work at home some?
I have the ability to work from home. Just on a personal, just personally, I'm not a big fan of working from home. It may be the fact that I've got a 3.5-year-old and a 18-month-old at the house that don't have a work volume on them. And also, my wife, we live in a 3-bedroom house there, and I feel like if I'm at the house trying to work, especially on call, she feels like she has to try to keep the kids quiet all day.
Sure.
So, and I still especially while I'm getting plugged into Riggs Davy here, I just prefer to be in the office, prefer to see people and be able to walk into an office and sit down instead of doing a Google Meets or a Teams chat. I just prefer face to face in-person interactions.
Yeah, that's great. I don't blame you. I mean, we COVID made us all work from home for a little while, and it kind of got uncomfortable. But there's advantages and to being at home sometimes, and sometimes you just got to get to the office. So I
Right.
understand that. So let's talk a little bit about your service as a county commissioner in Smith County, and of course that's how I got to know you, really on that level, is that you were one of my customers when I was at CTAS, and we would talk quite a bit, especially through a transition y'all went through, which we're definitely going to get to in this episode. But what was the desire? What made you want to? Well, let's first talk about what year did you become a county commissioner?
So I was elected in 2022. So I'm coming up on the end of my first 4-year term. Ended up running and getting elected. Yeah, it was actually our first local primary as a county. Was in 2022. Ran as a Republican. Ended up getting nominated and then ran in the general. We were actually unopposed in the general, and ended up being elected in 2022.
So what led up to your decision to run 2022? What kind of conversations or thought processes did you have that said, "Hey, I'd like to run for county commission and serve"?
Well, we've always been very involved in the community. We spoke a little earlier about just the history there and the deep roots. So, my dad was the high school quarterback and was the dentist in that community for 30 something years. So we've been, at all the meetings, been part of all the parades for as long as I can remember. And my dad, one of the things that he ingrained into me, which I'm very thankful for, is a love and appreciation of the people in the community and the people who helped you get where you are, and who are gonna, take care of families. They'll be there for our family for generations, and we'll try our best to be there for them as well. So I've always been just very involved in the community, very very aware of what's going on. I had started attending county commission meetings and budget committee meetings actually while I was a Well, before I got elected, before I was really even interested, just because I wanted to know more about what was going on and get more involved. I've always had a little dab of the political vein in me. I started working on political campaigns when I was 12 or 13 years old and volunteered from state to federal campaigns throughout, my whole life. And so I just love that stuff. It's what gets me up and going and really, whets my appetite. So I'd always been interested in it, started attending, and then a situation arose where we had a really long-time commissioner from Smith County, I'm sorry, from South Carthage, who was going to step down and not run for re-election. I think he was a 4 or 5 term incumbent, and he was going to step down to run for mayor of South Carthage, so one of the municipalities there in Smith County, which was going to leave a seat open. I had been around, been involved, knew the mayor, the other commissioners very well. So it just ended up being great timing in the right place at the right time, and talked to the mayor, several of the commissioners, and they ended up helping and supporting me to run for that seat. And so was elected in 2022.
You talk about Joey Nixon, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, so Joey and Jeff Mason and I got to know each other real well in 18 when Mayor Mason come on with, I say it's a cry for Smith County. It was a budget crisis. It was a situation that probably they weren't used to being in, with the low fund balance and low cash amounts. And so Joey, Jeff, and I spent a lot of time together with Daisy trying to get the county's budget plan sound and consistent to where they could get back in a
Yeah.
position where they're not worried about borrowing money to make payroll, right? So
Yeah.
Joey was a great commissioner, and of course he made the decision to step down and do being the mayor and being the city side of things. But you've done well too, Connor, and I appreciate the reason why you wanted to do it. I mean, community is a big part of what we do. Service is everyday thing, and so it takes people like that to do and be in that role, right, to get things going forward. And you made that decision. And so when you first became a commissioner, what's one of the things that you just wasn't aware of that just kind of surprised you?
Honestly, it was probably the budget process. I had been attending meetings. So I knew, kind of how things went and how the process worked and how the commission worked. But just the budget process, you're drinking from a fire hose those first couple of years. I'm still in my first, I got through my third budget. But especially that first year, I'm looking at spreadsheets with, fiscal year 21 and projected year 22, and then budget committee requests for 23. I'm looking at them like, what am I supposed to do with this?
That's a lot.
And so it was incredibly helpful. You talked about Daisy Denton. Director Denton has been an invaluable resource to me personally, and I think to our whole commission and county on being able to walk through. And frankly, I think the CTAS videos, I remember specifically there was a video and a learning experience on the property tax reappraisal and property tax and how that works. Because, everybody, we get our bill every year, unfortunately, our property tax bill, and you send that check in to the trustee, but really figuring out the nuts and bolts of how that works and even where that money's going. It was a little overwhelming at the start, and I don't know that I've actually mastered it yet for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
But at least I know the numbers that I'm looking at and somewhat what they mean at this point.
it's a lot, and I want to talk to you about those growing pains really when we come back after the break. I'm with Connor McDonald, Smith County Commissioner, Budget Committee Chairman. More on the way with Connor after the break. Connor McDonald, Smith County Commissioner, and also Budget Committee Chairman for the Smith County Commission, joins me. Great conversation so far, Connor. I appreciate your time. We were talking before the break about the first experiences as a commissioner when you came in 2022, and like you said, you're drinking from a fire hose, especially with the budget, right? And I know you came to the orientation that CTAS did in August of 2022. I think that's really where I first met you officially, and we talked. And I'm in charge. I was in charge of that program for almost 20 years, and the commission orientation, it's basically 6 to 8 hours of just information. And we looked at it then, and still looking at it now, like, how do we better deliver information to you all where you're not overwhelmed and you feel like you're drinking from a fire hose? And really, it's just about trying to retain as much as you can and ask questions later. But I appreciate the fact, one, that you showed up, two, that you asked questions. And the budget is overwhelming, especially in August when, or September 1, when you start, the budget's already been approved for you, right? So you're inheriting an approved budget by the previous county commission. So you have no stake in the game. You have no information that you have the information, but you have no input, right? So you're a new elected commissioner. You've been handed this budget that says, all right, work on this for the next 9 months, and then you have your chance to do a budget. And so you're get all this information, so you're overwhelmed. But what other things did you find early on, and even maybe now, that you were surprised that county commissions dealt with?
Not surprised that we're dealt with, but I feel like part of your job as a county commissioner is, I don't know, maybe the best way to put it is constituency services. The number of times I've got a text from somebody or a call about, hey, why is my roads looking terrible? There's potholes everywhere. When's it going to be addressed? Connecting those people with somebody in the highway department, or when there's an issue with some kind of wild animal out, being like, well, I don't know who we need to talk to, but I can text our mayor and find out. All those kinds of questions that just come with being on the commission. Was it master of nothing? Having just kind of a real broad exposure to the whole of county government. But I think, even the nitty gritty details of just each county department, I'm still learning some of that. I recently had a chance to go in and spend some time with our property assessor Terry Collins, and just really speak with him. We drilled down into We had a unique property tax issue this past year where we had a couple of well, we lost some of our mine revenue, and then we had a significant change in one of the businesses that operates there in Smith County with a significant reduction in their reported raw materials, which also, as you know, Ben, significantly is going to impact our property tax collection. So really just sitting down and drilling into some of the details with, our property assessor and how things work. So just getting information from everybody and trying to learn about all the county departments and what they do, trying to become an expert on everything all at once, and still trying to, make sure that you're staying on top of your monthly financials and things like that. So it was a lot at the start. It's still a lot, but at least, better learn how to manage it, better learn what are the important numbers, what to look at, what you need to devote your attention to, and things like that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you've got a team. You have 24 commissioners in Smith County,
We do. We've got a big team here.
yeah, and it can be viewed as a good thing to have that many. It can be viewed as, it just depends on the perception of folks in the county and around that think maybe that's too big. Putnam has the same. We have 24. There's times I think, wow, that's a lot of a lot of votes to get something done. But it also is a good thing where you have so many different perspectives. And opinions and thought processes because people are learning, but they also have good ideas, right? So there's a lot going on there. But being a new commissioner with 23 other people takes 13 votes to get something done as a majority. Super majority is 2/3, which is 16 votes, and sometimes that's hard. That doesn't happen a lot. But one of the things that you and I talked about early on was the structure of the financial management in the county. And I don't want to speak for you, but what So that's why I'm going to ask you, what about the structural finance management of the county? Where did you first realize? Did you see an audit report, or did you go to a class
So
that
I
Smith
actually
County might
was
be able to
the I
improve?
was I was one of the nerds that, pulled up the comptroller's report and started reading it. And so, in that report, we got, I don't know if the correct word is flagged, but the comptroller pointed out that we were operating inefficiently when it came to how our county finances were set up, and that it would be more efficient and provide better internal controls if we went to the Central Financial Management Act of 1981. So, I thought, okay, what is that? Are we in trouble? Why are we not doing that? If the comptroller, who knows a thing or two about local finance, is telling us that's what we need to do. So that I started looking into it. I think at the same time, other members of the county had been looking into it, our mayor. And so it all just kind of came to a head where we had not been getting information that some commissioners had been wanting and requesting, and some transparency on some of the county finances. There was a, we got this direction from the comptroller that says there's a more efficient way to do it, which would be a better use of county resources. And so all those things kind of came to a head where the county commission decided to pursue adopting the 81 Act, the Central Financial Management Act of 1981, and creating a Department of Finance with a Director of Finance to oversee all of the accounting and finance departments for the county.
Yeah, and so I think we're 30 something, 35, 36 counties now in the state that operate specifically under the 1981 Financial Management Act. And the pushback's going to come from school systems and sometimes maybe other departments because they don't quite understand. I remember back in like 2013, the officials that I advocate for now, the trustees, county clerks, register deeds, and clerks of court, fought against the 2013 Financial Management Act legislature introduced, the comptroller introduced, because they thought they were going to lose control over their offices and their money. And that wasn't it. Basically, they're just going to get a finance director. So there's a lot of opinions developed based on lack of knowledge, right? They don't understand completely how it works.
There was
And the
there were
81
so
Act
many
is.
comments. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're no, but the A1 Act is older, right? So I could see it, but go ahead with your thoughts. I know what you're going to say,
I was
and
going to
you're
say
right.
there were so many comments. We had teachers showing up at our meeting, almost in tears that they had been told, they were going to lose raises, that the county was going to raid the school general fund, all this stuff that's just absurd, blatantly against state law. And so, we were fighting against that. Some people who really wanted to keep things the way they were, and you can ascribe whatever reasons you want to that, nefarious or just not wanting to change the system. But yeah, we were dealing with some people who clearly had no idea that all this does is change where the books are kept, change how the books are like held in the county, like who is over them, and make it more efficient for the county. And I can't imagine anyone being opposed to more efficiency and providing a better product for the people of Smith County.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Connor McDonald, he's Smith County Commissioner and Smith County Commission Budget Committee Chairman. We'll have more with him after the break. Connor McDonald, Smith County Commissioner, Budget Committee Chairman, first term in his county commission service with Smith County. It's with me today. Connor, thank you again for being here. Great information so far. So we left off talking about the 1981 Financial Management Act that the state passed in 81, which I know is a long time ago, it seems, but it's still some piece of legislation and law that has been made a big impact for counties. Smith County decided to this process shortly after you came in as a commissioner in 22. The discussion started, and in September of 23, there was a meeting that I attended along with another counterpart of mine from CTAS, and then I think there was three people from the comptroller's office there,
I believe that's right,
and
yeah.
Comptroller Mumpower was, yeah, and Comptroller Mumpower was on the phone, right? So obviously,
Right.
the comptroller was very invested and concerned about what you all might do that night, and can y'all pass this act? It takes a two-thirds vote to get in. And so let's talk a little bit about that night and how all that impacted leading up and what happened.
Yeah. Well, like we talked about earlier, several of us kind of all independently had begun pursuing the idea of the 81 Act, and then we pursue it, and we get to that September meeting, and in the lead up to it, it had, like we discussed, a lot of misinformation out there about, oh, this is the county coming to take over. Because in our county, everything had already been under a centralized finance except for the school system. So, the comment was that this was the county coming to take over schools' money and going to use the money for their own purposes, which is, I mean, absurd, just to put it bluntly, illegal and everything else. And yet that's still what a lot of teachers and school employees were told to scare them about the implementation of the 81 Act. I mean, in the lead up to it, I got calls from Board of Education members and current and former Board of Education members. I mean, the former chairman of the school board called me while I was on a cruise and wanted to talk to me about it. And just everyone, who I spoke to was just what they were concerned about was not reality. And so we got to that meeting, had a long line of constituents come and voice their opinion on the matter. As you mentioned, we had the comptroller himself call in and explain and dispel a lot of those myths about the 81 Act. And then we voted pretty overwhelmingly to adopt it. Had to do it by two-thirds majority vote. So we adopted the 81 Act, and then we were on the way to implementation, and got sued by the Board of Education for violating the Open Meetings Act, which ultimately that lawsuit was settled. Some of the attorneys wanted to fight it, but we knew we were fighting with county money. So we decided to settle, and we actually agreed to put one additional Board of Education member on the Central Financial Management Committee, which some of us had independently considered and discussed doing outright as a show of goodwill before, adoption. because of some of the concerns that I mentioned. But ultimately, we ended up passing it overwhelmingly, and it's been a great improvement for our county. All the concerns that had been mentioned, none of them came to fruition. It's been a great transition. Director Denton has been an incredible director of finance. Her knowledge of local finance dwarfs most people that I've met, and it's been a great transition and a great improvement for our county.
Yeah, I think anytime you can improve processes that bring efficiency, accountability, transparency through all county operations is a good idea. And it may be a tough transition. People may, unfamiliar. It takes a little bit of time to get used to, but it's once they're in it and they see how it works, most of the time people are like, you know what, that was a good idea. And anytime a
Right.
county does the 81 Act and centralizes their financial operations, it's a positive thing, especially in the comptroller's eyes. The only thing I'll mention about that, then we're going to talk about your role as budget committee chairman, is that was a very intense meeting, one of the most intense meetings I've ever been in, I think in my career. And I think I've mentioned this before, and I hope I don't get in trouble, but I had a lady, I'm not going to remember call names or, but you remember the lady that spoke against it and actually referenced my radio show here at StoneCom and said, but Mr. Rogers said on a radio show something, something, something. It had really nothing to do with the Financial Management Act. And I don't even remember the exact words. And so after the meeting, I went up to her and I said, hey, I just really appreciate your comment. She said, really? And I said, yeah, I'm glad you listened to my radio show. And she just looked at me like she could kill me and walked away. So I just thought, well, somebody is listening out there. But let's that was a good night for you all, and you did a good job speaking out and taking that responsibility of a voice of reason, right? So I was there, I saw it, and you did a great
I
job. So
appreciate that. You know,
yeah,
I
well, it was
I'm
tough.
I consider myself a I enjoy reading a lot about history, and I just finished a John Adams biography, and he one of the things he mentioned, and sorry, I'll be quick with this, but one of the things he mentioned is that he was one of his proudest achievements as president was kind of spurring some of the more popular sentiments and sending a peace delegation to France to try to avoid a war. And later in his life, he said that of all his accomplishments, being president, all those things, he said that was what he was most proud of. And I mean, I can't imagine looking back on my time as a county commissioner, definitely so far, and saying, I passed budgets without tax increases. I've done all the, I guess, the glittery stuff, but when it comes down to just the nuts and bolts of what is good for the people and good for the county, I can't imagine there'll be many things in my public service career that'll be more fulfilling and better and that I'll be more proud of than adopting the 81 Act.
Yeah, I think it was a big step, and you were a big part of that, and Mayor Mason, and that leadership was really good. So, from that experience, going through a financial management change conversion, how much of that prepared you to step in this past year as Budget Committee Chairman for the Smith County Commission?
Well, I think it definitely gave me a lot more of a background on the financial side of things. Definitely had a great impact in me working with Director Denton, already getting to know her very well, understanding the finances. Because when we were in the 81 Act transition, and some of these comments would be heard through the grapevine or things like that, and you have to figure out, are they right, or is this just some more misinformation? And it forces you to look up and research and figure out how things work. So I think it really prepared me to take on the role of chairman of the budget committee, and which I was asked to do last year. Was just recently reelected to a second term, and the there's a lot of at least for me, there's a lot of pressure because that's a big decision. My family, like we mentioned at the beginning, been here for hundreds of years, and I'm hoping to make these decisions to leave a great county for my future generations, which I hope are all Smith County residents. So it's a very weighty position. It's a very weighty decision that we always have to make, and something that I definitely don't take lightly, and I don't think the rest of my committee members do either.
No, they don't. I mean, you don't take it lightly. I know those folks there. It's something They take very serious because it's work. Being on the budget committee is work. Being the chairman of the budget committee, from experience of 11 years doing it, it's time consuming. You give up a lot of things, especially, man. If I could tell you how many times I've been fussed at by family or friends because I couldn't go do something, go on a vacation or go do something one night during the summer or spring because it's pretty outside because I had a budget meeting. I mean, I'd probably be rich if I got paid a dime for it because that I it's just it's a lot of time. I know Putnam County met this last time. We probably met 10 to 12 times as a budget committee, and we're seasonal. We meet when we get budget requests in and we conclude our business when the budget has been approved. We don't meet all year, but 10 to 12 times from April to June, 1st of July is quite a bit. And
That's about the same schedule we're on. It's a lot, and it comes all at once. It's not something you can spread out throughout the year. We're actually meeting about every month, maybe every other month, right now, just because I wanted to add in some more instructional. Like we're about to hit reappraisal, so we're going to have our property assessor come speak to us 1 month. I'm going to bring in a representative from the state Department of Education to discuss CTE funding for us, so we get a better understanding of that. But when it hits in earnest, it hits at once.
it does. And so speaking of, we got just a little bit of time left, but speaking of reappraisal, do you have any inclination of what that may look like? I mean, I can say with confidence that property values have went up in Smith County and the certified rate's going to go down, but do you have any other inclination what it looks like?
I don't know. We've, like I mentioned earlier, had a conversation with our property assessor, and so I mean, definitely values have gone up. What percentage that is over the whole county, not entirely for sure, but that'll be a number that we're all waiting for with bated breath on the budget committee.
That's kind of what we do, especially in reappraisal year, because and I think this, that they get initial response basically in the spring, right? Early, late spring. Then they get another update as the months go. So by May, roughly May, you should know where the county stands on a certified rate. And then you're in budget time, so you can kind of plan. Now, they may come back with another certified rate in June because they had some updates. And then the commission would have to say, okay, or the budget committee have to say, we need to address this and adjust appropriately. But reappraisal is always, it's always a process, but it's necessary. And it's going to be interesting to see if the state ever goes to 1 and 2 year reappraisals instead of 4, 5, and 6.
As budget committee chair, I think I would appreciate those quicker reappraisals. It would provide for a quicker update on what the value is. It might catch jumps and dips that people don't normally get, and would just allow us to have a more accurate representation of really where someone's property value is.
Connor, thank you so much for joining us on today's show. You've been a great guest, and the information you've given us has been wonderful. All right, folks, really enjoyed this episode of Local Matters with Connor McDonald, Smith County Commissioner. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than to frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another, and we'll see you next time.